9:30. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. Good morning. My name is Colin Worthington, host for your program this morning. My handsome young guest, we brought him in, begged him to come on the program. He was kind enough to join us. Is the sheriff of Carroll County. His name is Terry Langley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We got you. Just going to ask you a bunch of generic questions. That was the initial plan, but you actually have an event coming up that we can talk about, too, and it covers a whole entire month, and it's the month of September, right?
Month of September, but we're selling raffle tickets. In September, we'll be raffling off a gun every day in September, 30 guns in 30 days. You can buy a ticket for $100. It gives you 30 chances. And those funds support our youth camps, our firearm safety program, other programs that we're not budgeted for. And it's usually been a big fundraiser for us in the past. So.
Yeah, it's not the first year you've done it, but why guns? Why did you choose that as a giveaway?
Yeah, and some people that's controversial, but of course everybody has to have a background check. We don't hand the guns out. You have to go to the pawn shop if you win and pass a background check. And most of these are people that already have weapons and buy them on a pretty regular basis. And guns are just so popular. We live in a hunting area. A lot of people collect guns. A lot of people hunt in this area. And we just found that it was very popular for people to purchase a ticket to have a chance to win a gun for whatever reason, target practice, hunting, and what have you. But they do have to pass a background check, have to be 21 years of age, and the name on the ticket has to be the person that has the background check before they receive the gun. But we picked it because, I mean, I told somebody one time, and they used it all over Channel 5 or 2 or one of the stations, that this is gun country, and it is. It's controversial in some areas, but it's also very safe, and we think any law-abiding person, law-abiding citizen that wants a gun ought to have one.
Did any of your winners not pass a background check?
Huh?
Did any of the winners not pass a background check?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard. Mostly all of them know that they're going to have to have that.
All right. Time right now is 8:33. We are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page this morning. If you have any questions or comments, I do encourage you to post those, and I'll look there during the break and share those with the sheriff. Let me start with this one. We're in budget season and all that good stuff right now. In 2020, Carroll County Sheriff proposed raising salaries for jail officers and deputy sheriffs, along with adding 12 new positions through the year 2024. It was kind of a five-year plan. At that point, salary increases included boosting the jail officer's salary 7% for the first year, followed by 5% increases over the next 3 years. Deputy sheriffs would see a 5% increase each year through 2024 to $21.38. And that started out at $17.59 an hour at that point. That was 2020. So discuss that request at this time. And, you know, has the county been able to meet all of those requests? And then
I'll be glad to. I'm very, very proud of our relationship with the community and with the Board of Commissioners.
But it was an attempt because, I mean, you're like, hey, these guys aren't getting paid enough. They're going to different places.
Absolutely. It's so competitive now. They weren't getting paid enough, and we were losing people. At that time, I think we had like 12 or 14 positions open because we just couldn't keep them. We'd get them, train them, and people would hire them away. But I will say this, the work of our staff, Craig Dotson, Brad Robinson, Ken Reeves, all of those working on the budget to put this budget together, but also the cooperation of the Board of Commissioners and Michelle Morgan, led by Michelle Morgan, our chairman. We have exceeded that five-year in raises. We are a little bit higher than what we wanted to be. I mean, not that what we projected, and we're so thankful. The commissioners have chosen to invest in the county employees, the whole Board of Commissioners. It's paid off, and thankfully we've had funds available to do that, and it's now stopped the bleed. We have a few openings, but not many. We have a lot of applicants now because of what we've been able to get. And not only that, while they're giving those raises every year, and they, like I say, they exceeded that five-year plan, but they've also put into there a retention check for employees that have been there so many years. They get another check every year so far for the last 2 years for the number of years that they have. So we got some people that had been there a while getting $4,000 or $5,000 retention checks plus their raise for the last couple of years. So we're just overjoyed and appreciate the cooperation and appreciate being able to pay these people what they deserve. And that's not where we want it to be, but we are ahead of our plan. And it's something, you know, when you raise salaries here, the next jurisdiction, they raise it. It's kind of like continually going up. And
that, I mean, that's accurate. You're seeing that. Does it happen elsewhere? Really?
It does. Yeah. It does. But we're now competitive thanks to, first off, the taxpayers and those that have went to the commissioners and said, we need to pay our public safety, our deputies and jailers more. Our jail officers have increased as well, just as much. So we're very pleased where we're at this point.
Very good. Terry Langley, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. He is the sheriff of Carroll County, if you didn't know. Sheriff of Harrelson County was on our program last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, and during the interview, we somehow got on the topic of partisan elections of sheriff. And I've heard that discussion maybe, you know, 10 years. I went back and I was looking at old stories, and, you know, there's articles going back 20 years, you know, in Georgia. What's your feeling on that? Should it remain a partisan race?
Well, you know, I've chosen, it probably initially should not have been partisan because the sheriff doesn't pass any ideology. We don't pass any laws. We just enforce laws. And you're going to give service to somebody regardless and run your office regardless to what party affiliation they have. And it probably should be nonpartisan. Now, you know, I'm in a Republican county, and I've been Republican. I'm the only Republican sheriff we've ever had, and I've been Republican, so that's just, I'm a leaning toward a Republican, but as far as when I run for office, but I could be independent. I think the sheriff probably should be independent or
judges are
nonpartisan, and it probably should be a nonpartisan deal, but it didn't fit for me to go nonpartisan or go independent. Now, there's been some recognition. The legislature now makes it possible that a sitting sheriff, an incumbent sheriff, can declare himself independent. But right now it is a partisan race.
Also, I mean, 12 years ago you actually had a Democratic challenger. What was Harp? Was he a Democrat?
Yes.
Was that, about 12 years ago?
Well, I had opposition in 08 and 16.
And that, you know, that just stretches the race out till November, as opposed to it's done in May, as it was this year.
When I go to help somebody, or our deputies go to help, we don't ask them what party affiliation. Has no place.
Is there any financial benefit? I mean, as far as the race, I mean, making it partisan. Is there financial benefits? You know, to the county or anything?
I just think particularly on the state level, I'd heard that when it was all Democrats, that the legislature wanted to make sure all their courthouses were Democrat, mm-hmm. and when the Republicans got in, they wanted to make sure all the county officers as they could get would be Republican to help them. But I really think the sheriff probably should be nonpartisan his county.
It's hour now, 8:38. We'll take our first break, come back and continue our conversation with Carroll County Sheriff Terry Langley. Again, if you have any questions or comments, please post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at tanner.org.
The Customized Academic Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
840. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Carroll County Sheriff Terry Langley. Again, I'll encourage you one more time. Any questions or comments, feel free to post those on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I will share those with our guest. Otherwise, I just made up a bunch of them this morning. I'll throw those out to him, and we'll just see where we go with them.
I want to compliment you, though. This hot chocolate is great.
And it's imported from West Virginia, and we've had the box here for about a month, and nobody else has tried to sample it, so I appreciate you.
Oh, so I'm the guinea pig.
You were, and so far, so good. is it chocolatey?
It is.
That's
it's
all
great.
That matters.
It's great.
And it's hot. And it's
perfect. Just thought I'd throw that compliment.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because since nobody else tried it, you might as well say, hey, so far.
Okay, maybe I live through
I'm
it.
All right. Now, if I do recall correctly, you've been a big proponent of splitting the Coweta Judicial Circuit.
Yes.
Over the last 10 years. Now, that's going to come to fruition for January of next year. What kind of impact do you see having that on the county, on your job, on the sheriff's
office? I think
it's
going to be a positive thing on many levels. Having, you know, of course, we're going to be the Carroll Heard Circuit. It'll be a smaller circuit. They ought to be able to move cases more. But also, you know, all the elective officials will have to be just as responsive as us local elected officials. We'll have our own district attorney. You know, I've nothing against the current district attorney, but I'd be in the grocery store and somebody'd come up to me and say, why'd they let them do this plea? Why did so-and-so get this sentence and this one didn't get that sentence? I would have to answer that, but I kind of like it where the district attorney, when they make a decision to prosecute, not prosecute, or whatever,
they'll
be in the grocery store answering the question and say, well, we just done what we thought was best for the community.
Yeah. Does that, when that happens, I mean, does that hurt morale at all in the sheriff's office? I mean, if you think a guy is an investigator's worked, you know, 6 months on a case and maybe they didn't, you know, thought they had everything, and then they're settled for a plea?
You know, I learned a long time ago that you just do the best you can, and you never know. You just have to have a mentality to agree to disagree. I'm not going to agree with everything the district attorney does, and he's not going to agree with me. But on some things, we just have to agree to disagree. And I've learned that, when I first started in this business, I thought everybody ought to be locked up and the keys thrown away and no parole, no probation. Well, that's not realistic. There's some cases where you have to take everything into consideration and take a plea or a sentence. You know, I may want somebody to get 20 years, I may get 5 years, but, you know, it's just you just have to agree to disagree and have a professional relationship and say, well, this is the reason I think the sentence ought to be more or less.
Do you think that there'll be less plea deals? I mean, if we have less cases here and they're easier to go through, do you think that'll affect that at all in the long run?
I don't think so. I think plea deals are just part of it. I mean, you have so many cases, there's no way. And I think sometimes the inmates have figured that out. There's no way you can try everybody. So you have to go through and work out some things here and there and then prosecute the ones. You know, what we need to do is, and I think we're turning toward that, is the people that we're afraid of, we need to send to prison for a long time. And the people we're mad at that we might that we used to send to prison, that we're really not afraid of, they're not a danger to us, we need to try to get them a lesser sentence and maybe some rehab. But the people we're afraid of, the child molesters, the rapists, the robbers, people, violent crime people, we need to send them off for the longest extended period. And those people that are on drugs and what have you, maybe do a prison sentence, not the ones selling it, but the ones using it, and maybe let them out with a lighter sentence if we can get them in treatment. So that's just a philosophy of mine.
And another one of your philosophies, something you took issue with probably over the last 10 years, I don't know if that's changed at all. I mean, as far as it's improved, was a big concern about having mentally ill people tend to just be put in jail. And
yes, I'm glad you brought that up. And there's a lot of work going on here in the mental health area. We see it firsthand because the sheriff's deputies are required by law to transport to involuntary committals, and that's individuals that are in danger of hurting themselves or somebody else. That's we're by law required to transport them to different facilities. And also, we get them in the jail sometimes. And then we've got them, and we try to figure out what to do to help them to get better. And that's a big, big issue. And we're doing a lot of work on that. We've increased our jail medical budget. We have a psychiatric nurse. We have a doctor there that works just with the mentally ill. And the reason we do that is because 99% of these people are coming back to the community. And if we can return them back to the community better than they were when they come, maybe they won't come back. But secondly, maybe the society will be a lot safer while they're out there if we can catch them in crisis, stabilize them, get them on a program of their medications, or get them in an environment where they will be safe.
During the COVID period, or you know, anytime during the last 4 years or so, was there a high mark as far as people who were in jail? Because I remember in Harrelson County, I mean, they were having to ship inmates out to different counties and house them. Did you guys see a big increase like that, and where would it be now?
We did see a pretty good increase, but we also saw a spike in mental. I mean, I think if we're honest, the COVID situation affected us all of us mentally, and we saw a spike in those cases. But fortunately, we did have a jail big enough that we could handle the people. Now, there was a point there we weren't taking people in because on simple, small cases like, you know, trespassing and those kind of things, because we couldn't afford. We afraid we would bring the COVID into the jail and affect everybody in the jail and our officers and our staff. And at the same time, we didn't want anybody on the outside getting COVID as well. Very difficult time, but I think it tested all of our mental health.
What's the status of that jail? How old is that jail, and what's the future of it, you think?
I'm glad you brought that up. You know, people will say, what about the new jail? I said, well, I want to let you know, we've been in that new jail going on 23 years. So I don't know if we still consider it a new jail, but it is still a good facility. I think we can still use it for many more years to come. But I'm glad you brought that up, Colin. The sheriff's office is a different story. And one of my things, I start my seventh term in January, and one of the things that I want to try to get started for future, maybe 5 or 6 years down the road, that we need a new sheriff's office, not a new jail, but a new sheriff's office to where we've just outgrown it. The plumbing's 50 years old. Everything's, we're just constant maintenance. We don't have the places that we can have training as much. Thankfully, we do across the street now because Michelle Morgan allowed us to get some rooms over there for training. But in the future, I would like, if part of my legacy or maybe something I could get started before I retire in a few years. And I don't know when I'm going to retire, but I can get that started. Probably require a splash project or something, but we need a more modern sheriff's office with better offices, better interrogation rooms, training rooms, and what have you. So, but I think the jail will be all right for a while. I'm not going to try to attempt to build a jail in my career.
How about in your budget? Is it something you would hope to use splash money for, maybe a project?
Splash, it would definitely have to be a splash project, I'm sure. And of course, that takes planning, and we got to get it on the, splash and that kind of thing. So I'd like to get that done before, you know, I'm getting old, Colin. I'm going into my seventh term. I'm 62 years old. I'm not going to always be around. I know it's hard to imagine, but
is there anybody encouraging you to consider stepping down? Any deputies are saying, hey, man, I want a shot at this. Once you know.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have some people run. But so
I didn't want to put it on your family.
But so far I can make a straight sentence, and I don't forget who you are and those kind of things, so nobody's asking me to.
You walked in your street.
Nobody's asking me to step down. It's questionable at times of my mentality, but so far nobody's asking me to step down.
All right, Tom, right now it's 8:50. Sheriff Terry Langley is our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. I'll take one last look at the Facebook page for your questions and comments. And we'll share those. Otherwise, I mean, you're stuck with whatever I dug up this morning that we'll share with the sheriff. And we'll talk about your raffle one more time, too, in the next segment. Community Voice is brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
A51. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Do have two people that checked in. A gentleman named Jay Collins. He says we're fortunate to have him as our sheriff. And our good friend Christy Chastain says good morning. Two great Americans, Sheriff Langley and Collins. So I appreciate somebody noticed that I was here this morning.
Well, thank you.
As well. Well, there's another comment. Let me see. Maybe that was. Oh no, that was Jace. All right. All right. The back in January, Carroll County Fentanyl Awareness Coalition, in collaboration with the City of Carrollton and Carroll County, announced the launch of the Fentanyl Stops Here campaign. I believe we had that posted up on the WLBB billboard out there on Noonan Road. It's funded by a grant from the Federal Opioid Settlement. The initiative aims to address the escalating fentanyl crisis in our community. What are some examples of things that we're seeing as a result of this campaign? I mean, are you getting more communication from the community? Are you getting people that are giving you stories and telling you, all right, I've
Well, first and foremost, you know, we just wanted to get the word out, the education out. You know, there's people out there that choose to use drugs, and sometimes recreationally, they think, and to know that there's a thing out there called fentanyl that a lot of people are lacing a lot of the other drugs with. We're against drug use anyway because it's not healthy, it's not safe, and it's a danger to our society, but fentanyl has really come into our area. I mean, we've got heroin, we've got meth, we got other challenges, but fentanyl has really shown up in recent years. And I attribute not all of it, but a good portion of it to the border situation, where, of course, we've always had drugs that came across the border, not just illegals and what have you. But we are getting more information. We have a joint drug unit with Carrollton Police Department called ACE, Aggressive Criminal Enforcement. And we've made several fentanyl arrests lately, and I think it's kind of the buzzword out there. When we hear fentanyl, because there's so many people dying each day, and it's so deadly, and it's so dangerous to our officers, it's like 80 times more potent than any other drug, than morphine, I think. And you can just, some of it you can just touch, and a person automatically goes into cardiac arrest. And we have Narcan that we've brought several back from fentanyl overdoses. So yeah, it's getting the word out, getting the education out, and more people are reporting it, and we're making some arrests on it too.
Last Friday, I think, Carroll County Schools hosted their annual security summit, the school summit. I mean, is there anything you can share about that? I mean, I didn't even know about it going on until you told me, and that may be a good thing. I mean, because, you know, why do you need the media there? You don't want the media sharing information, I think, on this. I mean, it's good to report that it's going on and that people care enough about it to do it every year, but, you know, you don't want to share too much information, I would suspect.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because that is our number one goal, is to keep our kids and our faculty safe, and we've done a school summit now for a number of years, a partnership with the Carroll County Board of Education. The city does the same thing with the city schools. And it's just something, a time that we live now, that we have to have a plan. Each school brings in their safety teams, coordinates, goes over scenarios, works with law enforcement, and have a plan in place should a terrible thing like that happen. And that's school safety is our number one priority. We'll be adding a couple of more school resource officers this year, probably a couple of more next year, to put officers in the schools along with these safety plans.
Are school resource officers underappreciated? Because I think about it, you know, my initial thought on them is they're going to be more jolly individuals, and they got to, you know, kind of smile. And I mean, they're an image of the law enforcement that these kids are going to see and may impact their idea of law enforcement for the rest of their lives. But they're also, when they're, you know, when they're communicating with these kids, I mean, they've got to be looking around everywhere as well. So it's not as easy as you might suspect, you know, the first glance at it.
Absolutely. School resource officers are worth their weight in gold. You can't just put anybody in there. You got to have experienced people that doesn't overreact, but that are proactive. Their first and foremost thing is security. Make sure all the doors are closed. It should be closed every day and check those doors, check suspicious activity. And secondly, and many other things that they do that's just as important, I think, is building that relationship with the students.
Yeah, I mean,
and them seeing a law enforcement officer as somebody to help, not somebody out to get them.
Absolutely. All right, time right now is 8:56. And I meant to ask you this in this last segment, the previous segment, and you may not be able to comment on it. As far as the split district, our new district will get a new DA. And I've heard of three people that are interested in it. Kemp hasn't asked for, as far as I know, submissions yet. I mean, if somebody's interested, could they use you as a reference? Would they be able to use you as a reference? Would you feel comfortable doing that?
Yeah, I'm sure they could. If I'm comfortable with giving their reference,
sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, it's totally up to the governor. I don't know if me signing on makes a big difference with the governor or not.
That should be helpful.
He's a good friend, and I think he's been a good governor, but absolutely.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes, and we can promote the raffle one more time. But anything else that you want to make sure we touch on before we head out?
No, I just want everybody to know that I'm so honored to be the sheriff of this county. It's a high office, but I know that I work directly for the people. And so you call me if you need me. If we'll try to do what we can to help, and we'll do everything we can to do that.
I've never had a problem getting in touch with you. I mean, I typically get, you know, information I need from, you know, from the other officers and things, but I've never had a problem getting
in touch with
you.
And Ashley Halsey.
Ashley Halsey. Well, yeah, no.
Our great communications director is a big help,
That's
too.
Why I don't need to call you much.
That's right. She handles most stuff, and she's one of our, you know, Michelle stole her away. She was one of our detectives, and so she has that law enforcement background, and she really helps us get the information out.
Is that unique?
I think it is unique.
Yeah.
Most of them, I don't think, has the background. She not only has the training and all to be a communications director, but she's got that on our end. It's a benefit to us. She has that law enforcement experience as well. So,
all right, time right now is 8:58. You want to promote this event one more time?
30 guns in 30 days. We're going to draw a gun every day in September. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them at the sheriff's office. You can call me. You can get them at Barnes Store or Southern Gun and Pun in Bowden, Georgia. You can buy those tickets, $100 a piece, but you get 30 chances. And even if you win, your ticket goes back in to the drawing for the next day.
And that's September, so you guys will promote it plenty more on your Facebook and things.
That'll be in September, but tickets are on sale now. And appreciate your participation.
Sheriff, thank you for coming by. You did better, much better than that guy from Harrelson County, Stacy Williams. Jeez. No, I'm just kidding. I know he's out of town, so he probably won't watch. He'll watch it as soon as he comes back, though. I know, because he'll want to see how you did. So, all right. Anyway, thank you again for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
Tomorrow, we've got Carroll County Commission Chairman Michelle Morgan, our guest, as he talked about a couple of times. So we'll definitely talk about the county's perspective on that potential rock quarry, which is on the county line with Paulding. And talk about the budget and, of course, the millage rate. You'll want to tune in for that program tomorrow morning right here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.